You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Finally, a bed that senses snoring and automatically responds. Meet the Ergo Smart Base from Tempur-Pedic, our first system that detects snoring, then automatically adjusts by raising the bed. Get your best sleep all night, every night. For a limited time, save up to $500 on select adjustable mattress sets and experience the deep, undisturbed sleep of Tempur-Pedic. Get full offer details at Tempur-Pedic.com.
You're listening to the Chicago Audible Podcast, changing up the way Bears fans stay up to date on their favorite team since 2015. Now get ready, because it's time to bear down. Welcome back, Bears fans, to another episode of the Chicago Audible, a special episode of the Chicago Audible, and I'm glad that you have tuned in today. I'm Harrison DeWitt, and I'm joined by my co-host, Nicholas Moriano. And Nick, I don't know, do you want to go ahead and introduce our guest today?
Yeah, absolutely. We have Olin Krutz on the show today, and he's just going to talk about the Bears, but we're really excited to have him on the podcast.
Yeah, let's go ahead and just bring Olin right on into the show. It's great to have you on. Training camp just wrapped up over the weekend, and we were able to be in attendance for the vast majority of the practices this year, and you can really feel a buzz from fans regarding this Bears team. Did you get the same sense when you were down there? Because to me, it feels a lot like the fans are at the highest they've been on this team since the 2007 Lovie Smith years?
Yeah, and the buzz is not just the fans, right? The buzz is also the team. I think the team has a feeling that they can be really good also. And I think they kind of feed off of each other. And the team is feeding off how excited the fans are for this season. And they're excited, too, in turn. But look, a lot of it is because it's the first time they've been good in a long time, right? Like the last playoff game they played in before last year, I played in it, and that's way too long, guys. Mm-hmm. Right, so they had a lot of losing seasons. Credit Ryan Pace for getting the talent in that building. I'll never know why John Gruden doesn't want Khalil Mack and he wants Antonio Brown, but that'll be a question for another time. Look, they changed it around. They have a Hall of Fame player in Khalil Mack. They got a lot of guys on their defense and their offense who you could argue are in the top two or three at their position in the whole NFL. And that's what you need when you compete in the NFL. So if they have health, I think everybody, including myself, who's been watching this team for a while now and doing radio, we expect big things out of this football team.
You know, you talked about a Hall of Fame player in Khalil Mack. I believe Nick and I both agree we have a Hall of Fame caliber guest here in you, Mr. Krutz.
Well, look, I think I'm a long shot, to be honest. It would be a huge honor. I had a great career in Chicago. If I do ever go in, that would be the ultimate individual award for me. But I don't really expect it or think about it. But it would be a huge honor.
It absolutely would be. Nick, I want to go over to you. I know you have a question about the up and down Mitchell Trubisky that we've seen so far in training camp.
What were your impressions of Trubisky when you were at camp? And also, what should be real expectations for the third-year quarterback? Are you expecting a big season out of him?
I am expecting a big season out of him just because of what he's surrounded by. And, you know, Trey Burton, Allen Robinson, Montgomery, who they drafted, Taylor Gabriel. They just have a lot of talent around him. And then you talk about the way the team was built, right? And you could talk about Coach Nagy. You talk about they brought in Brad Childress this year. They have Heffert. They have Ragone. So basically, guys, they have four quarterback coaches on staff and well-respected coaches now. So when we get into this time when they start game planning people, Mitch has a big advantage with all the weapons he has. Montgomery, too, they can hand the ball off to him. Mike Davis looked good. Tariq Cohen, let's not forget about Tariq Cohen. He can go the distance at any second. So when Coach Nagy starts putting a game plan together against these other teams, I think you're going to see a vastly improved Mitch Trubisky, because then they're going to ask him to do what he does really well. What you're watching in camp, guys, is an offense that is not game planning for a defense. Mm-hmm. So basically, Khalil Mack is one-on-one every play, and that's a lose situation already, right? And Coach Nagy is going to ask Mitch to do what he's not good at in camp so he can get better at it. I think once they game plan, once they have him do what he's really good at, I think you're going to see a different Mitch Trubisky. And I, just like that whole team, am expecting a big year out of him and that team.
Now, of course, Owen, we've seen our first bit of preseason action as well, and one player that really stood out was rookie running back David Montgomery. Thought he played very well. What's your take on him so far? Do you like what you're seeing?
Yeah, I do like the way he hits the hole. Now, one thing, he did have a good game against, you know, you would say Carolina's twos. The Panthers probably had their twos or even their threes on the field there. And one thing I'd like to see him do a little more is press that hole. That jump cut, to me, if the ones are on the field, was a little early, but I think he'll learn that, because the one time he did hit it up in the middle and he did that little spin move, made a few guys miss and got 4 or 5 yards. I think that's what he's going to be good at. I think he's going to be good at keeping the Bears on track, not taking the loss. What I mean by that is, on first and 10, you don't want to be in second and 9, if you guys know what I mean. You want to be in second and 6. You want to be ahead of the sticks. That way you can call any play you want in the playbook. So I think he's going to be that guy. I think he had a great game for his first rookie game. But if you ask me, the one thing I saw was he could press the line of scrimmage just a little bit more for the offensive line. And to be very honest, that's just nitpicking a guy who looks like he's going to be a very good running back in the NFL.
Yeah, we're all expecting some great things out of Montgomery this year. That goes without any question. But Owen, I want to get to a big reason as to why you're on the show today. And that's because on Saturday, you're going to be over at Bears Fit in Vernon Hills for a Merging Vets and Players event. There, you're going to be introducing MVP's program of physical and emotional fitness to the combat veterans and former pro athletes of Chicago's north suburbs. First of all, this sounds like an amazing program that's doing a ton of good for our troops. Do you care to tell us a little bit more about what's happening at Bears Fit on Saturday?
Yeah, look, MVP is a program that was kind of the brainchild of Jay Glazer. And he just thought that, you know, combat vets and pro athletes have so much in common on the side of they're always looking for a team, right? They're always looking to be in a huddle. They're always looking to be a part of something. And Jay Glazer did a great job of getting these two groups together to kind of help, you know, each other through this transition of phase of being an athlete and being a combat vet. Now, listen, I'm the last one to compare what we go through to what the combat vets go through. But when we're all together, there is something kind of special that goes on. And it's kind of like the same kind of people in the room, people who need a team, who need a plan, who need somebody around them who are like them, who are always looking to be better and to like, you know, just to help each other through a hard time. So they do a great job. They get about a 45-minute workout in, and then really they have this thing called the huddle after. That's probably the most important thing, where it's just, you know, it's just a bunch of guys just talking about what they're going through, through their week, through the last month, the things that are hard on them, and how they're getting through it. And some guys are just struggling, but it just, you can tell that to be together, to support each other, to listen to each other's problems, and just to express, like, look, I don't have this football anymore, but I do have this team. I do have these guys I meet with once a week, which MVP does, which Bobby Wise is their program coordinator, does a great job of getting these guys together just to support each other and say, look, I'm still, you still have a team and someone like me who will support you guys through these hard times. And I even had them, I run a private gym out here in Lake Forest, and I had them to my gym, and it was just a humbling experience having those guys come to my gym and work out, and we all just talked after and just, you know, just support each other.
You know what, Olin, you just mentioned the connection in the team setting that MVP presents between former and current NFL players and veterans, and I think that's what makes this program both unique and special. Olin, what are you looking forward to most on Saturday when you'll have the opportunity to meet and interact with everyone that will be involved at this great event?
Well, I've been to a few of them, and I'll tell you what I always look forward to is just the camaraderie, right? Just the hanging out with these guys who are amazing, who have done amazing things in their life, and and are just trying to integrate back into, you know, you would say like society, and just try to just get there and just show them that, you know, I support them and I know they support me. And just that you still have a team, and just get together and just feel their energy, because these are intense guys who want to work hard, who want to be around each other, and who want to support each other. So just the huddle, the working out, and everybody just coming together and supporting each other through whatever you're going through, you're able to talk about and you're able to get support for.
That's great, Olin. And I don't know if you've ever been to Bears Fit. I work out there maybe 4 to 5 times a week. It's a great gym, so you'll get a good workout in there as well.
It'll be my first time, but I'm excited to go check it out. I hear it's an amazing facility from some of my former teammates like Jason McKee telling me that you got to go check this place out because it's unbelievable. So looking forward to that also.
Yep.
All right. Yeah, obviously, you're doing some great work there over with MVP. And we were talking about training camp earlier on the top of this show. And I'm curious, going all the way back to your first training camp as a rookie in Chicago, what do you remember most from your first summer in Bourbonnais?
Well, my first summer now, I'm old enough that I went to Platteville on the
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, my first summer was actually in Platteville. And I remember getting up there and just realizing that there was no air conditioning where we ate, you know, in the dining room, there's no air conditioning. There's no air conditioning in the locker room, and just, you know, being around in the NFL, and all of a sudden you show up and, you know, you're playing for the Chicago Bears and you're driving 4.5 hours to Wisconsin. And I just remembered honestly being scared shitless, like these guys are going to beat the hell out of me. So, you know, it was quite the experience because kind of like James Daniels, you know, I was 20 when I was drafted, and just coming out here, being a kid from Hawaii and trying to adapt to Chicago and trying to adapt to the fact that now you're playing for a job. I mean, it was a huge eye-opening experience for me.
Do you have maybe something that you remember being like that difficult transition between Hawaii and Chicago? Is there something that took you a while to get used to? Maybe the winters?
Well, definitely the winters. I'm still getting used to those. So that was something. But look, when you're, I don't know if you guys remember the nose guard by the name of Mike Wells, but when you're lining up against a Mike Wells, and I remember the first time I went to block him, and he picked me up and slammed me on my head. And just, you know, you can't think about the weather when you're going against those kind of animals. And Tony Wise, who was the offensive line coach at that time, he ran on the field and he screamed at me. He said, Cruz, that's the block you were drafted for. So I was thinking, gosh, I'm not even going to make the team this year. But, you know, when you're in the middle of that kind of intensity, when you're in the middle of the trenches, when you're trying to make the Chicago Bears, you're not thinking much about the weather. You're just thinking about blocking that big guy in front of you.
Needless to say, Olin, you did a great job at blocking, and ever since that block, you've had a great career. The Chicago Tribune ranked you as the 26th best Chicago Bear in franchise history. Well-deserved after your 13 seasons with the Bears. Going back to your playing days, obviously there were some tough one-on-one matchups throughout your career, and you just alluded to one earlier. Who were some guys, though, that you played against that you knew once the game started and until it ended, it was going to be a dogfight down in the trenches?
Yeah, there were a few guys. I would say the one guy who tops my list is, you guys remember the Kevin and Pat Williams for the Vikings. And, mm-hmm. and Pat, even though we had a rivalry and didn't like each other very much, I'm far enough from the game now that I can honestly say that he was a very, very high-level nose guard, very good, hard to deal with. And I knew every time I showed up to play the Vikings, which is twice a year, I knew that was going to be a war. When Sean Rogers is down in Detroit, he was another, you know, I think Sean was 6'5", 380. He was a handful to handle and a very, very good athlete. You know, they had Big Daddy Wilkerson at some point. So the NFC North, which I first got, the NFC Central, when I first got to Chicago, was full of guys. You know, you're talking about Warren Sapp and Brad Culpepper and, you know, and then you went to Detroit and you had Robert Porche and Luther Ellis, and Green Bay had, Santana Dotson and Gilbert Brown. So you could just keep naming guys that we had to go war against every year. The Steelers had Casey Hampton. I remember going against him a whole game, and that was a war. You know, I played so long that we would need a whole show on guys that gave me, you know, problems through my career because, look, this is the NFL, and that's how good guys are that you play against. And it just always seemed like whether it be the NFC Central or the NFC North, it always seemed like some of the toughest D linemen in the NFL were in this division.
Yeah, the black and blue division got its reputation for a reason, for sure.
Right. Yeah, now for sure.
Now, you talked about it. You played for a long time, obviously, your entire career here in Chicago. A lot of former Bears in and out as you kind of stayed put. What kind of legacy do you hope that you left behind for all the teammates that you had? Like, if they had to sum you up in a word or two, what kind of teammate do you hope they remember you as?
You know, I just really hope that when I played the game, my number one objective always was just to respect the game of football. And if you guys have followed me at all, you know how much I love the game of football. And I have a very high opinion. I have a very strong opinion on the way it's supposed to be played and just respecting the game. And that means working hard at it, realizing how lucky you are that you're playing this game and getting paid for a living. So show up every day, work hard, get after it on the field. If a teammate, I have two sons now, and the things I yell at them about would be things that you probably wouldn't expect. Like I would tell my offensive line son that I do not want to ever see you leave a teammate laying on the ground again. So you pick him up, get him off the ground, you know, and I tell the same thing to my son who plays linebacker. Like if one of your teammates makes a great play, I want you over there celebrating with them. And to me, that's what the most important part of the game is. That's respecting the game of football, playing it hard, playing it tough, but playing it fair. And celebrating with your teammates and making sure you're supporting your teammates and your team. But to me, if you ask me what's the one thing I want to be remembered for, it would be that.
Now, of course, currently on Twitter, I see you breaking down film all the time. Is this like a new passion or during your like playing career, were you always like a film junkie?
Well, I don't know as you guys probably do know, you know, I do the post game show for the Score. After every game. And, you know, this year I think I'll be doing pre and post and doing some work for NBC Sports Chicago on their post game show with Alex Brown, Lance Briggs and Matt Forte and Lawrence Holmes. So I analyze the game, but to be honest with you, I've always been a fanatic of football. So when they gave me the chance to get on there and analyze Chicago Bears, you know, everybody knows my love for Chicago Bears. So I'm watching the game anyway. I got the game pass on NFL.com and I'm always watching film, and it just seemed like a natural thing to do to go out there and break it down on Twitter. Hopefully give the fans some insight into, you know, it's kind of hard to know what blocking schemes are. And to be honest, I'm not always 100% right, but I do have kind of a knowledge of blocking schemes and things like that. So I like to break that down for fans. Like, in the last preseason game. I think people may have thought that Montgomery missed a block on pass pro, but because of the way Chase Daniel directed the pass pro, he actually blocked the right guy. So just little things like that, and just kind of help fans, because I do analyze for The Score and this year for MSU Sports Chicago. Like I said, I'm watching it anyway, and I just like to put it out there on Twitter. So I think people enjoy it, and I enjoy it anyway, so I might as well do it.
I know personally, I really enjoy it. I try to share it as much as I possibly can. You've been doing some great work over at The Score and, of course, at NBC Sports Chicago. But let's move forward, and let's talk about this year's Bears team. And, Nick, I believe you have a pretty good question here to kind of kick this off.
Yeah, Olin, I think we can all agree that this Bears offensive line plays a lot better when Kyle Long is healthy and in the lineup. Mm-hmm. For the first time in a long time, Long didn't need surgery in the offseason and went to training camp healthy. What do you like specifically about Long's game, and how can a veteran like him continue to improve now that he is in his second season with Harry Hiestand as his position coach?
Look, you know, what do you like? When Kyle Long is healthy, I would guess the question is, what in the hell wouldn't you like about Kyle Long?
Right?
The
guy
he's a genetic freak. And, you know, I don't know if you guys been to camp, so you've seen him in person. Mm-hmm. That is a very large human being who is athletic. Kyle has not a lot of people have Hall of Fame potential. Right? And I'm trying to put this the right way. And Kyle has that kind of potential where when he's healthy, when he's 100% right, now he's got Harry Hiestand, who I make no secrets about, is one of my best friends. And in my opinion, the best offensive line coach in the world. So now he's got a lot of things going for him, guys. And I don't know if you guys watched him at camp, but he looks really good at camp. And he's going against Akeem Hicks, who is another absolute animal, right? So those two guys are going against each other every day. Iron sharpens iron. I remember my first Pro Bowl I made. It was for no small reason that I was going against Ted Washington every day in practice, guys. And when I went to games, the game seemed easy to me. So Kyle Long's got Akeem Hicks in front of him. He's got Eddie Goldman. He's got to block Trevathan. He's got to block Roquan Smith. Now he's healthy. If Kyle Long is healthy, he's a top two, three guard in the whole NFL. And that's what the Bears, I think that's what the Bears will, if healthy, get out of him this year.
Now, outside of Khalil Mack and Mitch Trubisky, because they're the obvious two, who do you deem as the next most important player on the team this year?
To be honest, when you ask me that question, I don't look at the level the guy plays at. Like Khalil Mack is, you know, Khalil Mack, I know how important. I know you say Khalil Mack and Mitch Trubisky. My argument to you would be Khalil Mack was injured last year and they won games, right?
Sure.
Mitch Trubisky was injured last year and they won games, right? So they're very deep. They're, you know, Chase Daniel is a luxury in the NFL. He's a very, very good backup quarterback to have. The Bears front seven, look, they couldn't go the whole year and win the Super Bowl without Khalil Mack. That's very obvious. But they could win a few games without him, because that's how good Eddie Goldman, Akeem Hicks, you put Lynch out there, you still got Floyd, you still got Trevathan, you still got Roquan Smith, you still got Eddie Jackson, you still got Fuller, still got Prince. So I would say Charles Leno is very important to that team, because you guys know the depth chart like I do. You guys were at camp like I am. And every team has this problem, but they do not have a backup left tackle. So I would not like to see them lose Charles Leno, to be honest with you.
That's a very good one. Like you mentioned, Rashad Coward is a primary right tackle backup behind Bobby Massey. Yeah. So, yeah, that's a great observation.
And they got Lucas. They brought in Lucas, right? And Lucas looked pretty good. Not pretty good. He looked good against Carolina. So they got Lucas there. They got Cummings. I think they got Cummings, who's coming off an ACL. So they're trying to get a backup tackle, which, you know, like I just said, let's be honest, there's 31 other teams who would like a good backup left tackle. They just don't make them. But when you look at the Bears team as a whole and where they could least afford to lose somebody, it would probably be, in my opinion, you could argue tight end too, but in my opinion, it would probably be an offensive tackle.
Now, I want to get your insight on this position switch between James Daniels and Cody Y here. Obviously, I think between the three of us here on the podcast, you're the best suited to kind of give some insight. So obviously, each have played both positions collegiately and professionally. But I'm curious, now that it's a full-time switch, what do you believe are some of these subtle things that each player, Daniels or Whitehair, needs to do to adjust? Or maybe you have some firsthand information from Harry Hiestand in terms of how this adjustment's kind of gone.
Well, I was at camp, and I don't know if you guys, it's hard to see, obviously, the interior of the line, but I was at camp, and it's pretty smooth now. And both have played both positions that they are playing, right? Cody has played guard before. Cody has played center. James has played guard and center. I'll say this. When I watched Daniels played on film last year, and I watched him in camp play center, I think the guy has a chance to be a very special center, if not the best center in the NFL. So when a guy has that kind of talent, that kind of natural talent for a position, and you're looking at a guy who can be top two or three player in the NFL at his position, you have to put him there. You have to put a center. And everybody knows how good of a job Cody has done at center. But I will say this, it's been smooth from what I've been watching. I think that they made the right decision. I think that it'll benefit both players. I think Cody will be a better guard than he was at center. And I think that James is on his way to being, everything healthy and adjusting to the mental aspect of playing center in the NFL, which, as you guys know, he played for Kirk Ferentz in Iowa. And Kirk Ferentz said that he is the best center, natural center he's ever coached with the most skill. And that's high praise from a guy like Kirk Ferentz, who coached offensive line in the NFL, was coached offensive line a lot of years in his career, and is an offensive line guy. So I think James is going to do a great job there. I've been saying that for a while, that I think he should play center, and I'm excited to watch him. I'm excited to watch him play that position.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch him as well. I actually went graduated from the University of Iowa, so I knew all about James Daniels, especially when the Bears drafted him. Very, very happy that they got him on the team. Yep. And, Olin, we can't talk about the Bears without mentioning the 2018 Coach of the Year, Matt Nagy. He's established a great culture in this Bears locker room, and you can really tell these players just enjoy playing for him. So although he was accomplished some great things in his first season as the Bears head coach, what do you want to see out of him either as a play caller or as a head coach now that he's heading into year two as a lead man for the Chicago Bears?
Just more of the same. More of these guys totally buying into him, enjoying playing for him. He seems to have a great feel for what his team needs. And as an example was, I think I was just reading about that he had all the coaches yelling and screaming at them the other day. And just that he had a feel that was what they needed. They needed people on them that day. They needed people getting after them. And he seems to press all the right buttons last year. And I'd like to see him just keep trusting his gut, keep going with what he thinks is right for his team, because he's been right so far. And I just want to see him keep doing more of that. Just more of everybody being themselves, letting them have fun. And we all know that with winning comes, everybody's happy and all likes each other. So hopefully we get more of that. But to be honest with Coach Nagy, more of the same. Now, if you're asking an old offensive lineman what I like to see a little more of, I think we all know I'm going to say run the ball, but I don't think Coach Nagy is that style of play caller. And seemed to work for him last year, what he was doing. But other than that, really excited about what he's brought to Chicago so far.
Now, of course, speaking of excitement, Nick and I were very excited to have the opportunity to have you on the show today, which is real funny because yesterday I was cleaning out my garage, just tidying up a little bit, and I came across the cover of Sports Illustrated that you were on. It was you, Roberto, and Jay going into the NFC Championship game against the Green Bay Packers. It was pretty cool to see you on there, and now, of course, talking with you today. I know Nick and I both really appreciate the time that you took to hop on our show. Really means a lot.
Guys, I appreciate you having me on, and I appreciate you talking about MVP, a great program, and hopefully, it goes well at Bears Fit, and we have a good time out there.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode, Bears fans. I want to thank you again for tuning in. I hope that you enjoyed that Olin Kreutz interview as much as Nick and I enjoyed hosting it. Nick, it was pretty damn cool to have Olin Kreutz on the podcast. Never thought that would happen.
Never thought that would happen, but he gave some great answers. Mentioned Kirk Ferentz in Iowa, so I'm happy.
Well, Nick's happy. I'm happy. Hopefully everybody listening is happy. I know Owen's happy being able to talk about, you know, his MVP event happening at Bears Fit this Saturday. Again, really great cause, and it's awesome to kind of hear a little bit more about it and what it means to him as well. The next time you hear from us is going to be Friday night after the Bears take on the Giants for their second preseason game of the year. But until then, bear down, Chicago. Bears!